Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Today we're talking about looking at the Constitution, looking at the history of America, looking at the political parties. And you think about the Constitution, the U.S. Constitution is just a major, important document. It's one of the documents that so many people who are enemies of America want to take down. It's so inspired, it seems, by the Lord. These men were so wise. You know, it was based off the Magna Carta that was written 500 years prior to today, I believe, in regards to, you know, the freedoms given. It's a new thing, people having freedoms in their nation, having a say-so. We all used to be servants and slaves and that type of thing since the beginning of time almost. But America was a great experiment that God has blessed, and it's been going now over 230 plus years. Well, think about this. Even during the time when Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was standing up for the civil rights, for the rights of the African-American citizen, and it was a beautiful stance that he was standing up. What he was saying over and over again, he says, listen, we're just only talking to you about holding you up to the Constitution, what's written on the papers. As a matter of fact, let's take a look back quickly at Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
That all men are created equal. He's quoting from the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution is what he's talked about. I want to just hold you what's on the papers. And it's what we all want to treat all of our citizens of America with, equal rights. We had a program that we did about taking the test to be a U.S. citizen. And when you go and study those questions that you got to be able to pass to be a citizen, you'll find out people that are brand new citizens know more about our country than people who've been born in America. It's just a very precious thing to be an American. Well, you're hearing all these things about political parties, and people are saying that party, you know, is a slavery party, or this party is oppressive to this and to that. But you know what? There's a true history about the political parties. The truth is the truth. A new book just came out recently. It's called The Smears, talking about these political type smears that are going on. You can probably see the name of it right here. But they talk about specifically if you want to take down the truth, you can't take down the truth. But if you can find the messenger of the truth, they try to smear that person so they can't deliver the truth. It's amazing how that's happening again and again. They try to do that with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and so many others as well. And they're trying to do that with our president today. But this is Her name is Professor Carol Swain from Vanderbilt University, and she's with Prager University, and she's looking at the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, and she's telling us the true history. Which party is the party that enslaved our African-American brothers and sisters in America? Let's go back and listen to Professor Swain now at Vanderbilt.
Once upon a time, every student of history, and that meant pretty much everyone with a high school education, knew this. The Democratic Party was the party of slavery and Jim Crow, and the Republican Party was the party of emancipation and racial integration. Democrats were the Confederacy, and Republicans were the Union. Jim Crow Democrats were dominant in the South, and socially tolerant Republicans were dominant in the North. But then, in the 1960s and 70s, everything supposedly flipped. Suddenly, the Republicans became the racists and the Democrats became the champions of civil rights. Fabricated by left-leaning academic elites and journalists, the story went like this. Republicans couldn't win a national election by appealing to the better nature of the country. They could only win by appealing to the worse. Attributed to Richard Nixon, the media's all-purpose bad guy, this came to be known as the Southern Strategy. It was very simple. Win elections by winning the South. And to win the South, appeal to racists. So the Republicans, the party of Lincoln, were to now be labeled the party of rednecks. But this story of the two parties switching identities is a myth. In fact, it's three myths wrapped into one false narrative. Let's take a brief look at each myth in turn. Myth number one, in order to be competitive in the South, Republicans started to pander to white racists in the 1960s. Fact, Republicans actually became competitive in the South as early as 1928 when Republican Herbert Hoover won over 47% of the South's popular vote against Democrat Al Smith. In 1952, Republican President Dwight Eisenhower won the southern states of Tennessee, Florida, and Virginia. And in 1956, he picked up Louisiana, Kentucky, and West Virginia, too. And that was after he supported the Supreme Court decision in Brown versus Board of Education that desegregated public schools, and after he sent the 101st Airborne to Little Rock Central High School to enforce integration. Myth number two, Southern Democrats, angry with the Civil Rights Act of 1964, switched parties. Fact, of the 21 Democratic senators who opposed the Civil Rights Act, just one became a Republican. The other 20 continued to be elected as Democrats or were replaced by other Democrats. On average, those 20 seats didn't go Republican for another 2.5 decades. Myth number three, since the implementation of the Southern Strategy, the Republicans have dominated the South. Fact, Richard Nixon, the man who is often credited with creating the Southern Strategy, lost the Deep South in 1968. In contrast, Democrat Jimmy Carter nearly swept the region in 1976, 12 years after the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And in 1992, over 28 years later, Democrat Bill Clinton won Georgia, Louisiana, Arkansas, Tennessee, Kentucky, and West Virginia. The truth is, Republicans didn't hold a majority of Southern congressional seats until 1994, 30 years after the Civil Rights Act. As Kevin Williamson of National Review writes, if Southern rednecks ditched the Democrats because of a civil rights law passed in 1964, it is strange that they waited until the late 1980s and early 1990s to do so. They say things move slower in the South, but not that slow. So what really happened? Why does the South now vote overwhelmingly Republican? Because the South itself has changed. Its values have changed. The racism that once defined it doesn't anymore. Its values today are conservative ones, pro-life, pro-gun, and pro-small government. And here's the proof. Southern whites are far more likely to vote for a black conservative like Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina than a white liberal. In short, history has moved on. Like other regions of the country, the South votes values, not skin color. The myth of the Southern Strategy is just the Democrats' excuse for losing the South, and yet another way to smear Republicans with the label racist. Don't buy it. I'm Carol Swain, Professor of Political Science and Law at Vanderbilt University for Prager University.
Is that not a shocker when you're seeing the true history of America hasn't been taught for quite some time? She said everybody was taught this to a certain point and they quit teaching it. That's why it's important that we actually know what's being taught in our schools today. We just heard, well, we're not going to talk about the content that's taking place. So we need to get a hold of the school boards and find out what's being taught in our schools. But that's the truth. The truth is that obviously if Abraham Lincoln was the one that signed the Emancipation Proclamation, the Republican Party is the freed slavery. That's the Republican Party, what they're known for. And they just, you know, the book's smeared. You got to check out this book. We'll talk more about it probably a little bit later in the program. But what they do is they look, people look straight at the truth. And if they can't change the truth, they actually try to attack the person who's delivering the truth. They call that a smear. She calls that in the book. But and say, you got to tell a big lie. That's a huge lie, because actually it was the Democratic Party that was enslaving our fellow citizens in America. And it was the Republican Party that set to set them free. Either way, we've come beyond that now. And our values, she says, is totally different. Wasn't it so interesting to hear what Professor Swain with Vanderbilt had to say about the true history of America?
Absolutely. And that's what's so powerful about truth. You know, Jesus said, I am the truth. Right. I am the way. I am the life. And it's just like, if you don't know the truth, you're susceptible to whatever someone tells you.
Right.
And like she says, okay, here's the myth. Here's the truth. And the thing is,
the truth is the truth.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you don't know what the truth is, you're blindly going to accept what's being told to you. And it's like we're talking during the break, it's so important that we have truth in our schools.
Yeah, and I hear leaders, board members, and superintendents say, "Oh, we can't do that because of this. We can't do it." It's like, you should have the truth in there no matter what. Yeah. You should have the truth in your school. That's your school. It's not some political official school. It's not some board member's school. That's your school. This is America. And we got to begin to say, well, just truth, whatever truth is. You know, we need the truth about slavery, the truth about, you know, good, bad, and the ugly, everything that happened. And I think about this book by Cheryl Atkinson. It's called Smear, right?
It's called The Smear, How Shady Political Operatives and Fake News Control What You See, What You Think, and How You Vote.
One thing she says in this book, and you got to get this book, you're going to understand, because she's dissecting about what's really taking place in our government now, and in media and all the different things going on. But the big thing she says is that what they do is, you can't change the truth, but you can actually smear the one who's the best at communicating that truth.
Right.
So when you start seeing somebody who is being attacked and all they're doing is sharing the truth, you need to listen carefully to that person.
Right.
I mean, you think about how many times they try to smear Jesus. Now here he is, the Son of God, Emmanuel, God in the flesh. He's the, you know, the morning star. He's awesome. But they called him the devil, they called him a liar, they called him a drunkard. They did everything to do. They said, smear the messenger. Of course, nothing stuck because he's sinless Son of God.
Right.
But that happens every single time. That's what the enemy does. He tries to come in and smear you. And don't give up the truth. When people start trying to attack you, they're trying to get you, the messenger, to shut down and quit delivering the truth. That's how powerful the truth is that you're delivering.
Right.
And I think about our president. You know, our president, he's just saying things like, "I love all Americans. You know, I want us all to get along."
Unity. Come together. We support you.
Unemployment rates down by 17-year low. The borders are safe. Illegal immigration's dropped by 70% on the border. Stock market's higher than it's been before. It's like, this is celebration time.
This is a good thing.
Smear campaign, that's what's going on. And you know, we're going to talk a lot about that, but understand, I'd get this book just to understand, because it's really a system. It's I think she reported this is one of the highest paid positions now in Washington, D.C., the industry. It's the smear industry.
And that's one of the things, too. It's just like, as you're understanding, even now in our culture and our generation, we have so much information, and we're just susceptible to technology that's all around us. And she talks more into detail that she says every image and everything that's put before you is placed there very strategically. Yeah. Nothing is on accident. And you start to look at, okay, I'm seeing these things from multiple sources or web pages. Why am I seeing
that? Try to make it like happenstance, but they actually, I mean, she talks about just
every
bit of that.
And she talks a very, very good job about that.
And we have to understand that, because we are supposed to be followers of the truth.
That's right.
And we'll have a nation if we actually stick to the truth. But if we buy into a lie, we'll lose the nation.
Division.
And it's one nation under God, right?
Yep.
It's what God has called us to be. Our rights come from God. The Word of God says this, that if God allows a nation to exist, and if we turn our backs on Him, He'll take that nation down.
Yeah.
But if we repent, He'll let the nation stand. Nations stand because God allows them to stand.
His
and not to
and
acknowledge
grace.
Him. Of course, our president did a prayer proclamation over the nation, first time in 100 years, had the pastors, ministers come in and pray over our nation and pray over him. I mean, we're turning to God. God's hearing that. So this is a very important time. But they're actually trying to smear the ministers who are on part of the advisory team of the president, trying to get them to come out and separate them from him. But guess what? They said they're not going to do that. They said no.
Well, you think about it. The name devil means one that comes in between and divides.
Gets in between and divides.
And just like what you were talking on a previous program, it's just like, how much of a shame would it be for us to find out that we were on the wrong side of what God is doing? And it's just like, we've got to humble ourselves and just like, God, what are you doing? And get behind what God's doing.
You know, I think about, you know, former NBA player and business leader and, you know, TV personality, Charles Barkley, and they're asking him about these Confederate statues that are going on right now, and some are being taken down, some are being left up. And I think the people are more important than the statues.
Yes.
I think we need to really think about the people first. But listen, he's being interviewed about these Confederate statues around. This is Charles Barkley responding to that in his comments.
I'm not going to waste my time worrying about these Confederate statues. That's wasted energy. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep doing great things. I'm going to keep trying to make a difference, number one, in the black community because I'm black, but also going to try to do good things in the world. I'm not going to waste my time screaming at a neo-Nazi who's going to hate me no matter what. And I'm not going to waste my time trying to worry about these statues they got all over the country.
So do you leave them up and ignore them?
Or
do you
always ignored them. Rick, I'm 54 years old. I've never thought about those statues a day in my life. I think if you ask most black people, to be honest, they ain't thought a day in their life about those stupid statues. What we as black people need to do, we need to worry about getting our education. We need to stop killing each other. We need to try to find a way to have more economic opportunity and things like that. Don't waste, those things are important and significant. You know, I'm wasting time and energy screaming at a neo-Nazi, or, man, you got to take this statue down.
That's so important. You're hearing Charles Barkley speak about that. It's so, you got to really think about what's really more important. And it's like that smear campaign where they're getting people focused on something that's like, what about my house? What about my job? You know, you look at the unemployment rate has dropped to 17-year low, and the economy's going up. And you know, when the stock market goes up, that means trillions of dollars being injected into our economy, which means the local business that's owned by stockholders, the value of that business has risen up. So we're the highest it's ever been in the history of America. And so good things are happening right now. It's like people are trying to distract. And Charles, I think he's saying right now, listen, this is more important, you know, good education and a good job and a good career. Right. And let the finances just transfer in regards to doing a good job and running a good industry.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.